Welcome in to Comics for All, episode 12. First off, thanks everybody for tuning into the show. We hope you enjoy. We had a lot of fun with this one. We talked a little bit about Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse and Black Panther getting some Oscars. We also talked about a wonderful new comic called Spencer and Locke that we were privileged enough to check out and enjoy, thanks to Mr. Pete on the show sending everybody a copy. And we also talked about issue 2 of Sweetheart. So a lot of fantastic fun stuff. We also got to talk a little bit about this, the convention season in general, kind of getting started here. And a big shout out for Bordertown Comic Con, going to be March 23rd through 24th. And also don't forget to go check out turbocomicsshop.com, the brand new website for Turbo Comics, where you can find all of your wonderful needs for comic books right there on the site. A big shout out to Max and his team for getting that up and running. So congratulations on the new website, everybody. And with that being said, we hope you enjoy the show. Don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, and check us out on Twitter at All for Comics. Talk to you all soon and enjoy.
Comic books it is. Comic books for life. Comic books for all.
And here we go.
In brightest day.
In blackest night. No evil shall escape my sight.
It has feathers on, see?
Oh, okay. Well, that's good, because this is how we're going to start episode 12 of Comics for All. How y'all doing? Look at y'all. Hey, look at smiling faces, big, beautiful beards, and handsome, sultry voices. What is up, everybody? How y'all doing?
It's Tuesday.
It is. It is a Tuesday, yes.
Beard is pretty sexy, sweetie.
Yes, it is. Everybody admire it. So silky with its imaginary fibers.
There it is. Hey, nothing like a good beard for everybody.
Are we going on the beard rant again about how Marley and I need to grow beards? Because that happened last time.
Did it? No, we're not going to go down that road again. No, we won't
do
that.
Stop making us jealous, Allie.
You know what, Allie? We'll just console ourselves. If we end up start talking about beards, we will also talk about Von Doom in a suit.
Oh man, is that what this has come down to?
Well, we're bringing it back.
I gotta go to bed.
Yeah, good to know we now have a no talk list, so we know what is on and off those lists now. Good to know. Awesome, man. So some exciting news all around. You know, comic books have been kind of in the forefront in a couple of different very large medias, mostly movies. Did anybody get to check out the Oscars and see some big time comic book movies take home some hardware, man?
I did not get to see the Oscars, but I was very, very pleased to hear how well Spider-Verse Into the Spider-Verse did. That is a fun movie and different than anything we've seen so far.
Oh, yeah. Is that at the Oscars? Huh.
Yeah, Into the Spider-Verse won, as well as Black Panther won as well. Okay. So both of them for soundtracks. So I thought that was pretty awesome that the music is in there penetrating multiple levels of media like that as well. So that was really cool. Loved both those films. Thought they were fantastic last year.
They were wonderful.
So it was nice to see.
I think the only thing that I heard about the Oscars was Rocket Raccoon sang a song with Lady Gaga or something. I don't know. Like, that's like the thing I keep hearing the most about.
I really wish that would have happened, actually. That would have been a way better version of what we got, I'm sure. If Rocket was with a gun up there.
So sling us a web, you're the Spider-Man. Sling us a web tonight.
You're going to get us copyrighted.
So, but the question I have for y'all, man, I think it's probably one that's going around a lot in a lot of different places, but do you think this is good for comic book movies to be getting this kind of press, if you will, or do you think it's going to be something that kind of hurts the genre as a whole in the long run, where now they're trying to go after these big awards rather than just entertain the fans?
I think it's a great thing. I mean, for one thing, it shows that, yeah, no, these aren't just, you know, kid movies. They're not just, you know, they're not just for entertainment. They're actual movies that have a message to give, that people will see these things, that people care about these things. And by extension, comic books. Whereas, you know, okay, great, fine. Not every comic book movie needs to be an Oscar winner, but, you know, they all need to be able to hold up and stand up for their audiences. And these two movies in particular really did. So,
well, and they also took, you know, I mean, we were talking about best animated feature going to Spider-Man and the Spider-Verse, and then best costume design going to Black Panther. I mean, I think that's, those are like legit awards. Like, those aren't just like special effects, you know?
Yeah, it's not just, you know, best use of color for the background of the third scene.
Right, absolutely.
No, it's a real thing.
I keep waiting for, you know, I keep waiting for the Comet Crest to, you know, finally hit its peak and then subside, you know. So I don't know how much longer we're going to have films that are going to be of the quality of, you know, Black Panther and some of these other films that have been nominated, but it'd be nice if it continues. And it's interesting because it seems like, you know, Hollywood, especially the Oscars, it seems like they've always had a problem, maybe not a problem, but a hesitancy might be a better word, in nominating films that aren't your normal Oscar bait, so to speak. I know that it took three films for Peter Jackson to finally win one for one of his Lord of the Rings trilogy. You know, and so it'll be interesting to see if one of these films that are coming out, one of these comic book movies, if it's able to come back with the best picture. You know, and I wonder what kind of narrative that would have to be, and whether that would even be a Marvel or a DC film. Maybe that'd be, you know, something that is, you know, adapted off of an independent publisher. But it is good to see, and I hope we continue to see it.
Yeah, and for me, I mean... And, you know, Ali, it looks like you got something to say on it as well. But I would really hope that we start, that this kind of maybe even start some of those indie house studios to try and pull in some of those third-party comic books more than anything, and some of those lesser-known comic books, and maybe not some of those big, huge titles, but maybe snag some indie, you know, properties up or something like that, and be able to adapt those onto the big screen as well. Because no matter how much we all want to see Sandman eventually hit the big screen, I mean, how fantastic would it be to see some of some of those smaller things like a Bedlam, you know, that we've talked about multiple times on here, you know, some really good indie stuff like we're gonna talk about, like Spencer and Locke, you know, there's a lot of cool books that could go out and get some really big love from that too. So,
well, and I think that's a good point with the indies, because when you get to indie comics, that's where you see a lot of things that take chances, or they're not mainstream with the way that their plots are set up. And I think Into the Spider-Verse really opened a lot of doors for that, because we don't have just, you know, oh, it's a Peter Parker Spider-Man, which of his cast of villains is he going to fight? It's no, this is a different person as Spider-Man. And now we're talking parallel universes. Now we're talking a whole crazy cast of characters coming through the door. And it works beautifully. It's not hacky. It's not hokey. It's not, you know, chopped together and rammed in and just for comic fodder. It's well done.
Well, the thing was, is even though that film was geared towards younger audiences being animated, it never treated the audience like they were stupid. And that's always one of my biggest complaints with any film. I don't care if it's comic books or not. When the director, editors, whoever gets a hold of it and starts treating audiences like they're dumb, and we just have to believe what's going on. I mean, going into a multiverse scenario in an animated film like that is a risk. And I'm glad they did it. I think it'll be a lot of fun exploring the Spider-Verse in that situation. But the other thing is DC's been crushing the animated realm for years. Like, they have been killing animated movies for over a decade, probably, or more. Mm-hmm. And what I'm more excited about seeing Spider-Verse get love with that is, hopefully, you know, DC Warner Brothers has had some, you know, some failures with some of their live action stuff. I'm hoping that their animated features can start getting a little bit more love and a little bit more shine like Marvel has now.
And yet, you know, and yet there's, you know, it's like, it's like the attention is going further into the media, but like the hesitancy is still there in the movies, but it's not just, it's actually spreading on the small screen, it seems. It's not just Dark Horse with the release and popularity that they've gotten with Umbrella Academy or the upcoming Lock and Key, but even Dynamite is going to, who was it, Hulu with The Boys?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was Hulu. And yeah, that and we've got The Tick. Let's don't forget The Tick, for that matter.
Yep, absolutely.
Didn't exactly hit the word of mouth on the others, but
yep.
IDW, even there. Oh no, sorry. I said Spencer, not Spencer Locke. Too many locks. I said Lock and Key was Dark Horse.
Lock and Key is
IDW.
IDW.
You know, Dark Horse is not alone on Netflix. Lock and Key is about to come from IDW, and mm-hmm. one of the most passionately followed shows since Game of Thrones and The Walking Dead, and definitely even comparable to Supernatural, is Wynonna Earp. And I didn't even know that IDW makes that.
Yeah.
Like, at first, when that was around, I didn't even know IDW makes that.
Yep. Well, the other thing, you know, and that the small screen, you're very right on that, Pete, is taking over the comic book, you know, genres for sure. Because, you know, Kirkman just signed that big deal with Amazon, and, you know, he's bringing all mm-hmm. of those pieces.
Invincible going to Amazon.
And, oh, but he also had, you know, that's the other thing, is Outcast on Showtime Stars Cinemax mm-hmm. is phenomenal. Like, it is amazing like mm-hmm. how well that's done, so.
Or yet again with the Netflix dollars, Polar was comic first too.
Absolutely.
It's like, oh my goodness, the audiences are still loving what they've been getting, what they've been asking. Yep. And when the big businesses are saying no, just as within comics, the smaller businesses are saying, yo, over here, come on, let's go.
Yep. And speaking of Umbrella Academy, I'm just gonna put this out there real quick. Y'all need to watch it, because they have expanded upon the characters in a big way that the comics, you know, that miniseries just wasn't able to do. And what's really cool about it is even Gerard Way, who the creator of Umbrella Academy, is out there talking about how much he loved what this team did with some of his characters and things they've done, and how much he appreciates them expanding upon that character's backstories and things like that. So really, not only are some of these people, you know, some of these places, some of these comic books are getting done on the small screen, but they're being done really, really well on top of that. You know, they're not cash grabs anymore. They're actually being done by fans of the genre, fans of the series, and being treated with respect. And that's what's more important. You know, I'd love to see this expand, but it needs to be done the right way. So.
Yeah, it does. And I think that you're completely right. And I think that while I don't know, it might be a while before we see another superhero movie maybe nominated for Best Picture, I still think that we're going to see a lot of these superhero films on the big screen nominated for, you know, outstanding achievements in cinematography and costumes and things like that. But you are probably going to still see, you know, films that are pulled from comics, their narratives are pulled from comics, you know, and that are nominated for Best Picture. I'm talking like, you know, movies like, you know, Road to Perdition or American Splendor, things like that. You know, those were based on comic books. Not a lot of people know that. But, you know, things that aren't superhero oriented, we're going to see that forever. But are we going to see like another Black Panther movie nominated for Best Picture? I don't know. I don't know about that.
It's going to be tough, man. It's going to be tough. Yeah. That's for sure. And I think that was just more exciting than anything, to have it nominated, to see it. You know, you were getting the hype from Dark Knight, but also we had the loss of Heath Ledger that kind of propelled that a little bit as well. But you know, Christopher Nolan did amazing work with those films, so it was nice to kind of see that kind of lay some groundwork, get this train moving, and now we're here in 2019, and man, it's not stopping, and this year has got a ton of comic book movies coming out too, so.
Definitely.
So with that being,
no problem with that.
No, and speaking of Captain Marvel coming out this Friday, have you guys joined the hype train for this yet, or are we still kind of guarding it closely because Carol Danvers is so loved by so many of us?
Carol Danvers is a treasure. No, she is. I, as the antithesis of Marvel comic book fans on the show, thank you very much.
Wow, you're just gonna take that. Well, that's self-proclaimed, by the way. I don't think I've given her that title, but you know,
I'm just gonna say, as the DC fangirl slash really messed up twisted comic book fangirl, I don't read a lot of Marvel, but that being said, Carol Danvers is a treasure, and I am terrified and excited to see what happens. But I you know what, it's like, it makes my heart hurt a little, because it's just she's so big in my world, and like, she's had so much influence on the comics that I've read, that I really want it to be good. I really want it to be good, but because I want it so bad, I'm terrified that it's going to be terrible.
Yeah, no, I get it.
And I'll be really heartbroken.
That's why I'm glad we've got Allie, because I have a strange experience with Captain Marvel, and no relations to any possible online bickering that's been going on lately or anything like that, but just in that I'm an 80s kid myself. And among other things, you know, that came out of the 80s, yeah, especially comic fans will know that the hot properties, the big word-of-mouth properties at the time that weren't Spider-Man or Batman or Superman were Daredevil and the X-Men, to the point that that's even where the Ninja Turtles came from. It was a joke about Daredevil and X-Men all at the same time. But that meant that I really knew almost nothing about anybody outside of Spider-Man, Batman, X-Men, Superman. So I ran into Captain Marvel, Monica Rambeau. I only ever knew Carol Danvers as that's where Rogue got her super strength from, because the Avengers were called in and they got into it and Rogue dropped her before the Avengers could stop her. And something went wrong. Da, da, da.
Da, da, da.
So I learned who the heck the character was years later I really didn't get to know her very well until when the Comics Code Authority was dropped around, like, what was it, 2000, 2003, when she was showing up regularly in Iron Man comics with Tony helping her with her drinking problem.
Ah,
look at
that. Which,
of course, meant that was a little out of left field for me since I didn't really know the character well, but I liked the writing on it, thought it was a good arc. And I've always been a sucker for the space characters, partly because 80s and Star Trek and Star Wars in particular, but yeah.
There you
Once
go.
I found out Carol was heavily involved in space, I was like, okay, cool.
I'm into this lady. We can keep her around.
But yeah, I've got a pretty backwards relationship with her. Like, I kind of sort of recently found out, like, this is Captain Marvel lady.
I've seen a lot of people's reactions of just being really guarded towards Carol Danvers, though. And I didn't realize, you know, I knew she was a big character. I knew she was a very beloved character. But I don't know. It's been a while, I guess, maybe since I've seen so many people worried and protective of a character going on screen. I don't even remember it being that bad for, like, Captain America when he first came out, you know?
I mean, maybe they feel that way because it's, you know, in a way, this is Marvel's first, you know, female-led film.
Yeah.
And she is that beloved character, obviously. But you're right. I'd wonder if it would be the same if it was, you know, a Black Widow film, if they would feel the same, you know, or a Scarlet Witch film, you know.
Yeah, yeah. If we did a She-Hulk or something like that, right? Like, right. I mean, I don't know if it'd be the same level.
Yeah, I think that the interesting thing about Ms. Marvel and Captain Marvel and the entire, like, Marvel, Captain Marvel line of characters in the Marvel Universe is that they're, in a way, they're sort of like they're like icons of the brand, right? But they're not, you know, they're not Thor, they're not Cap, they're not Iron Man, they're not Spidey, but they are icons of the brand. And I think that Marvel, Captain Marvel, was an icon of the brand. And I think Miss Marvel was always a very popular character. My first experience with her was probably in the pages of Uncanny X-Men. And then eventually and I'm going to show up to you guys here on the cam, but it's Avengers Annual number 10, which is a very controversial issue. I won't go into why it's controversial. You guys can look that up, but she's a fantastic character. So I think what's interesting about Miss Marvel, what's interesting about Carol Danvers as she's become Captain Marvel, is that we've seen a lot of people gravitate to her since she's become Captain Marvel. I mean, when she was Miss Marvel, it was like, okay, she's cool, but now that she's Captain Marvel, it's kind of, you know, given her another, I guess, you know, elevation of character in a way. So I
need education real quick, though. So we're gonna put a pin in that real fast. And I'm sorry, Pete, to cut you off, but Miss Marvel, Captain Marvel, is this like a ranking system? Like, what's going? I know this. I always thought that was just two different characters.
Oh, go ahead, Pete.
Educate. Educate. I need education.
So Carol Danvers, you know how? I mean, again, this is the new guy here, so. You know, please send, you know, any mistakes that I make or more specifically gaps I leave.
Jack.malice @gmail.com.
That's my email right there.
Yeah.
But she has been in the space, the really condensed answer, she's been in the space opera scene as well as the Avengers scene so often. And if you've ever read much Avengers, that's exactly how the team works. There's an immense amount of back and forthing on the team roster.
Absolutely.
If you delve into the history.
100%.
That's the super condensed version of Avengers. Captain Marvel, a.k.a. Ms. Marvel, a.k.a. Carol Danvers, a.k.a. Binary, a.k.a. I'm forgetting two or three more, I'm pretty sure.
Warbird.
There we go. See?
And she wore her Captain Marvel outfit for the early 2000s while she was still Warbird, and that made things super clear. But suffice it to say that all the stories with the, just like with the X-Men jaunting back and forth to space and throughout realities back in the 70s and 80s, and the Avengers doing the space thing as well as, you know, fighting gods and aliens and robots and what, and Hawkeye. Yes, that was a thing. Look that up too. You'll like it.
I'm writing. Let me write that down.
Oh, that's genuinely a fun one.
Okay.
But it came down to, she kind of came to personify, intentionally or unintentionally, the changing roster of where she was operating out of, how she was operating out of. She literally had cosmic powers, lost them, was just invulnerable and super strong and could fly, regained some of the cosmic powers.
And is this kind of where her evolution from Ms. Marvel to Captain Marvel came from? Is that regaining and losing of cosmic powers?
There have been multiple in continuity to not go on the...
We're not going to... we don't have to go too deep into the weeds here.
Yeah, to go on nothing remotely like... So let me explain the X-Men timeline to you.
Yeah, no, absolutely not.
Not go even close to that. The Captain is the one that isn't the lineage, because it's never been family or training, except in the most brief sort of ways. It's just been... other characters in the universe have heard, like, hey, there used to be this Captain Marvel, and there needs to be a new hero. Let's give them the name they know. I'm going to be Captain Marvel now.
Got it.
And Warbird and Binary. And I think for a while she really did, even just superhero under, hi, I'm Carol Danvers. Whack.
Cool.
She just had Captain Marvel for a while, and or does now, as just making herself, you know, as a statement made by the character, I'm here to stay. Like it was, you know, there's a line in the sand, yo.
Right. It was actually suggested by, in the comics, it was actually suggested by Captain America that she basically assumed the mantle of Captain Marvel. Because that's who, you know, mm-hmm. she was personifying. You know, that's who she was paying homage to, kind of, and to honor his I guess, you know, his contribution. Like, she eventually became Captain Marvel.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Well, there you go. Yeah, thanks for educating. I knew of the character. I knew that she was Captain Marvel. I just didn't know a lot of that backstory. So appreciate the education there, folks. Thanks.
Yeah, she's a great character.
Absolutely.
Nice. Allie, so I know you this is a special character to you. Is there anything you're hoping to see in the film? Like, is there any, like, iconic moment you're hoping to catch on there?
I wouldn't so much say it's an iconic moment as... I just really enjoy having a really strong, badass woman to represent us in comics.
Cool.
And, you know, back in the day when Matt was still doing Step Your Geek Up and I was still a little tiny comic fledgling with a short box to my name, they said at the shop, the only books I knew were Marvel. Like, that's it. I didn't know anything. How do you jump into detective? How do you jump into action? That's another conversation. But, you know, how do you get into that? You just figure it out. So somebody said, here, try this. And it was a Captain Marvel book. And it was Miss Marvel when Kamala had just become Miss Marvel. Yeah. And so it was like, oh, cool, there's girls in comics. Like, this is epic.
And badass ones at that, right?
And badass, right. Yeah. And it was like, but the only other girl that I really knew, I mean, I'd heard of Wonder Woman, didn't really have too much of an interest in her at that point. But I'd, you know, I knew Harley Quinn. Harley Quinn's book had just come out, The New 52. It was great. But I wanted somebody who wasn't, who was less mental patient, as much as I loved Harley. I wanted somebody who was good because they were good. And their decisions were to, I wanted somebody on par with Superman or with a Cap or something like that, who's just a good person and was a woman to represent us. And because you can have all of the cute girls and the, you know, Mystique and Rogue and all these X-Men and this and that, and that's great. But at the end of the day, sometimes everybody's dancing that fine line. And with Carol Danvers, everything that she did is in the pursuit of a goodness.
Got
and
it.
It's to protect people. Yeah. And we don't often get to see that as women and have somebody portrayed not in, I mean, if you look at her old costumes, yes, they were very skimpy and
for
you know,
sure.
whatever.
Yeah.
It was the time. Yeah. But it's very rarely, even with Wonder Woman, love her to death now, you know. But I mean, she's a sex symbol. Let's be real. Like, she's gorgeous and she's hot and she's representing us, and that's great. But Carol has the outfit. She's sleek. She's cool. She means business. She's a pilot. She's this. She's that. She's all of these things that are amazing for girls to look up to.
Nice.
And I want to see that portrayed. I want her to stick to being that strong woman that can do anything and not fall back on using her sexuality as a tool to achieve something, but using the fact that she is talented, she is intelligent, she is a badass.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to see.
Nice. No, I think that's phenomenal. You know, in comparison, you know, you're right. You know, there just isn't that major female lead character from comic books except for Wonder Woman. And they even had to play that as like a tongue-in-cheek moment on that film. You know, they literally had a moment where they're like, oh, look at you. And she's, you know, blocking bullets and things like that. And it's like, this is not just a lady in a dress right now. Like, this is an amazing character that's going to kick some ass this whole movie and get ready for it. So, I you know, I love that they, you know, Patty Jenkins was just like, I'm going to show y'all and I'm going to put this right up front early on and we're going to set the record straight that I'm making a badass character, not somebody that's just here for eye candy. And, you know, I'm sure they'll take that stance with Captain Marvel too. If they don't, they're missing a huge portion of what is actually good and great about that character. So.
Oh, and if I may interject a tangential but fun point on the character in very recent times. Especially since I'm pretty sure our good Allie has not read this. I'll make sure you have copies of the first arc of The Immortal Hulk to read. Because she has a few issues showing up in there.
Okay.
That are awesome.
Ooh.
Like they genuinely, you've heard what you've heard about that title. The points where she and Alpha Flight in there actually made my skin crawl more than the rest.
If you get me to read Immortal Hulk, everybody at my comic book shop is going to hunt you down and find you and high five you, because they have been trying to get me to read that book. Everybody's like, oh, you have to read this book. You have to read this book. You have to read
it's amazing.
Don't worry. It'll be digital. It's just between you, me, everybody else here. And if any of them are in the audience, so don't worry.
So
don't worry.
There's all that. All of them are in the audience.
Oh, good to know. Good to know. What's up, everybody at the comic book shop?
Hey, DV94.
There it is.
Boys?
Give it the shout out. Hell yeah. Cool.
Let's talk, girl.
So with that being said, let's dive a little bit into some of our exclusive reads, man. We've been very lucky enough to be in contact with these amazing creators on a couple of books. Shout out to Pete in a huge way, man, for building some amazing relationships with some of these guys and creators. And I actually want to dive in first, because I'm sure you and Miss Marley have read it, but let's do a little bit of Sweetheart, man. We got issue 2 out, and I would love to kind of chat about that a little bit and pick your guys' brains a little on it.
Oof, I'm adoring the story and the art. This is a title that's full package, but honestly, I'm loving hearing it more from Marley. She's been really entertaining me almost as much as the comic has with her takes on it. So, babe, with that preamble, please take it away. I literally like your words better.
And oh gosh, it's still just as good as the first issue.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, you know, every issue you go in a slightly different direction, but it still ends with that same oh no feeling in the drop to your stomach. Where like the first one did, where you realize, oh, what's no, nice. No, stop. it still has that nice, wonderful punch to that word, sweetheart, where I'm just like, please don't call me that for a while. I need to decompress from it.
I'm not.
And it's seriously, especially when you consider, oh, it's a story very much parallel to diabetes. It makes me want to, like, stop and re-examine some of my life choices.
Well, that's what it's based on, really.
Yeah. It's what it's based on, really, yeah. It's
a ghost story, but making the ghost was never a dead
some
person.
Of my life choices.
Yeah.
Let's just say that.
Nice. I dig it.
Yeah.
But art, obviously, I'm sure, is still top notch. I mean, I was absolutely looking it through the pages on this. You know, I wish I'd dove into it a little bit more before the show, but being able to get through the first few pages, man, it's just still like just so captivating. And what I enjoy about it, and let me know if it continues that theme, but that art is like this great horror theme that is just phenomenal, mm-hmm. man. It's so dark and creepy. I absolutely love it, man. It reminds me of like old school Resident Evil. Like you're always worried about what's around the corner in the next panel. Like it's always a little more terrifying than the next.
Oh, and you know how well, first that... issue delivered that at the end? This one does it again.
Oh, nice. Oh,
dang it.
Yeah.
Yep. No, we should warn about spoils there.
We didn't say how or what, so I think we'll pass true. On the spoiler there.
Now I will say though that very, very mild spoilers. But one thing I really like is the approach they're taking to the story, because it is specifically a five-part story.
Cool.
And I was really enjoying, and that was one of my favorite parts, was that number one actually tells such a tight little tale, like really a fully encapsulated tale, to the point that I found out from the writer Dylan Gilbertson that, okay, no, there's going to be more. It's going to be five issues. Really?
That's awesome.
And I accidentally spoiled it for myself, some of what's coming up, because on DylanDoesComics.com, of course, he has portfolio and upcoming work.
You're diving, Doug, too deep.
There's a general synopsis of the plot for each issue.
Oh, wow.
So if you go to
him,
you can find it on find number one and two on Comic Central. Yes, Comic Central. I didn't use the ology word.
There you go.
Which is fine. But it's Comic Central is amazing for indie folks like this.
Nice.
Although, if you want to catch more of Francesco Iaquinta's work, I am so sorry, Mr. Iaquinta. I have never gone any further than very bad Spanish, so I need to find out how to pronounce your name properly one day. But I can think of at least one other title off the top of my head. Croak is available from Alterna Comics' Etsy store and looks just as good as this, and actually tells a lot... gives a lot of the subtler notes of its story through the pictures, not through dialogue or narration at all.
Oh, wow.
And Croak? It's $1.50 an issue.
Cool. I dig it.
That's actually how I found his art first, but oof, man, Sweetheart is definitely my favorite so far.
Nice. Allie, what you got for us?
I'm so excited to read this because I haven't read it yet. But the reason I'm so excited is because Marley never reads horror, and just like the fear coming out of her voice right now makes me so excited. I love horror books. Like, I mean, hello Bedlam, hello Juke Joint, hello
absolutely.
Like Infinite Dark, Whispering Dark, all these books I've been reading. And then there's Ice Cream Man, that's a good one too. But then there's Marley, who's reading this book, and she's like terrified. And I'm like, yes, that's what I want.
And it's not like it's, you know, H.P. Lovecraft creepy where it's like, you know, oh, all the dark, deep things that stir. No, it's like, no, you know, this is a little unrealistic. We don't have monsters in the woods, but this could happen.
Yeah, we have diabetes.
We have diabetes. That's the monster in our woods.
Yeah.
This is something where it's like, yeah, no, this is a very realistic level of terror and horror and something pervasive following you around in your life everywhere you go. Every day.
How scared you are. That makes me so happy. I'm not scared. Like, I don't like that you're like scared, but it's like,
oh yeah, it's delightful. It's delightful. Come and read it with me.
I will. And I'll also send you more horror books and we'll drag you in by
drag me in by my feet. Lovely.
Scary. Fantastic.
Delightful.
Sweetheart, the gateway horror book.
The gateway horror.
It really is. It's like, you know, hey, you want to be terrified of your everyday life.
Yeah, I would say horror light, but it's nowhere near light horror. It is full on into it. Like, it's great.
Real life horror.
Yeah, it's great.
It's real life horror, not supernatural horror. That's
the best kind of horror.
Well, that's awesome to hear. Well, cool. So, Sweetheart coming soon. Pete, the creators of that again. Let's give them a shout out real fast before we move on from that.
We have the good Mr. Dylan Gilbertson.
Dylan Gilbertson, yes.
I am very confident that I pronounced him correctly.
And then, yes.
And we have the good Mr. Ken, I'm
How
sorry.
About this? Let's just do this, Pete.
Francisco Yakinta.
Where can we find them again? Like, where's the easiest place to pick up Sweetheart?
ComicsCentral.com. ComicsCentral.
Perfect. And go and Mr. check them out.
Does have a DeviantArt, and Mr. Gilbertson does have a DylanDoesComics.com. And that is also definitely to shout out. Sorry to horn in here, but this comic is such the real deal, such the perfect package that we have to make it. Make sure to add in Marco Pignata and cited Temafonte, and oh, good gracious, I apologize to both of you for your names just there, but your comic is amazing. Please keep making them anyway, even though I'm just butchering your nomenclatures.
What's the comic?
Sweetheart.
Oh, okay, yeah, Sweetheart is what we were talking about earlier. Okay, so they're on it as well. Great. Oh, yeah. Awesome. So go check them out, comicscentral.com. You pick up Sweetheart, man. So with that being said, let's jump into the next one, man. This was a phenomenal gift we all received from our amazing Pete because he knew our lives would not be complete without a read of this book. And it came at a fantastic time for me. The package was amazing. I couldn't have enjoyed this read probably more when I did. And Spencer and Locke, man. I'm going to kind of let you jump on this one real quick, Pete. Like, how did you find this? Where did you hear about this? And yeah, give it just a little bit of intro, man.
To totally not rip off of another show that I love and hold dear to my heart, time for backstory, Sartlinkara. So I found Aftershock Comics thanks to not only pretty eye-catching, you know, pretty direct, but eye-catching basic cover designs and logo design on the shelf at one of my two local comic shops. And the fact that they had, a comic that the manager told me was, it's like Iron Chef, but with time travel. And I picked that up. Their cousin book called Voracious. And it was more than that, I'm happy to say. But we're not here to talk about Voracious. We're here to talk about the splash page ad that I saw in issue 2 or 3, I think it was. It's behind me, but it'd be way too noisy this time of night to go grab it.
Yeah.
So I'll just say 2 or 3.
Okay.
And to not try and quote my entire blurb about this event that's in the article already. Mouse-corp.com, Spencer and Locke 2. Written and co-written and edited by R. Marleyba, where it was this splash page ad mostly done in reds and blues to the point of almost nothing else. and it was this detective, you know, and you could tell he was detective with no narrations or captions on it.
Oh, yeah.
Because he had some Band-Aids on his face, but he didn't have the swelling or broken nose that would suggest a boxer. He had the short haircut. He had the 1,000-yard stare, but the square jaw. You know, and the crummy tie, mostly tied properly, but then looming behind him in a ratty trench coat, like a head taller than him, was this panther with human shoulders and a shirt button for a right eye. And I know I'm...
You are building this so well right now.
I know I'm on your page here, director man. I know I'm here on your page. I know I'm on your page now. It is the stuff of legend, isn't it?
Oh, is it ever? Is it ever?
But it literally said Spencer and Locke across the top. And I thought, okay, that even sounds like Hardboiled Detective, but Giant Panther what? And in the bottom right, you know, like, okay, what is this? I'm genuinely intrigued. And at the bottom, this is only in a matter of seconds because it's just one page. But kind of the thoughts going through my head there. The bottom of the page loudly proclaims his partner's imaginary, but the danger's all real. And all I thought, real. Okay, homicide detective with an imaginary partner. Where can I buy this? And I did, and I never looked back.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, it is so much weirder and so much cooler than it sounds.
Well, and the thing is that you built it up exactly the right way, because I think
that's how it happened.
If you had pitched this to me in our messenger or anything like that, I'd have been like, man, Pete's really excited about this. Like, I need to wonder what this is. But the fact that it just showed up on my doorstep, and as soon as I pulled it out, I went, yeah, this is going to be awesome to read. This is going to be really fun. Like, I can't wait for this.
I did not want to tell you guys what it really was, because people are talking left and right about, okay, here's really what it is, and they're not wrong.
Yeah.
But I wanted you to go in cold, because I think that added, that made it even more delicious for me. So yeah. I wanted to give that to you guys, too.
That was awesome, man. I appreciate it, because, you know, we're going to dive a little bit more in depth into this book on another later episode. I don't want to get any spoilers with this, because it is something I think everybody needs to go and find and get their hands on. Because one is, it's an excellent story. It really is. It's got all of the right things for all the right reasons of dark and twisted and dastardly and action. I mean, fantastic moments throughout this read. But more than anything, when you're looking at it, it is a complete package of a book. It looks amazing. It's well written. The story moves. I really... You know, besides it just kind of having some really big moments and some over the top kind of themes, I struggled to kind of find major or any really big negatives on this. You know, it's a book that you can read and just enjoy from cover to cover. And I think that's so fantastic.
Oh, my. Yes. Oh, my. Yes.
Absolutely.
And Aftershock seems good at finding the titles like that. And I'm going to paraphrase the article that Marley and I, Marley and David Popoz and Nora Santiago Jr. put together. You'll see. Alice-Corp.com. Spencer and Locke 2.
Absolutely.
But they, like so many other books, they had rejection after rejection after rejection, and they got to Action Lab, and Action Lab just, you know, almost literally gave them the, okay, when can we have it?
Yeah, good for them. Mm-hmm. David Popoz and Jorge Santiago Jr., fantastic job, man. Round of applause to you guys. For those of you who've read it, I know, Marley, you dug into this. What are some of your initial reactions to this book?
Oh, my gosh. This is the best thing ever. Okay. So take your childhood. Take it with you into adulthood. Do not let go of childish things. These childish things are what comforts you and helps you through many, many difficulties in life. Whether your childish stuff happened because, you know, you were a child in suburbia or the inner city, doesn't matter. Your childhood is what comforts you. When you are now a detective with a stuffed panther as your partner, dealing with a homicide in a back alley of somebody you once knew.
All right. That was a great synopsis of the first, like, two pages. I'll dig it.
There you go. Honestly, this thing is amazing because, yeah. I mean, I could write, if I went back to school for this sort of thing, I could write an entire essay on this. I could write a dissertation on it. Yeah. It's delightful. It's remarkable. It is a wonderful way of using the things we're familiar from our childhood in a very loving and reverent way. You know, not just using it for cheap hooks or anything, but really, really reverent for what these things have done for people, these iconic things from our childhood have done for people.
That's fantastic.
And putting them in context of our adulthood.
Yeah. Allie, how about you? What are some initial thoughts?
When I got this book, I'm not going to lie, I looked at it and I was like, oh my God, what are they sending me? This is insane.
Well.
Thank you for loving me and sending me comics, but I have such a huge stack of comics. But it's amazing. It's, you know, I think I told Matt earlier, I said, it's like, it reminds me of Calvin and Hobbes on LSD.
But in a loving way.
No, in a loving way. There's message, and there's totally morals, and there's totally things that get covered. But I'm going to look at it from the other way and just be like, it is like, hello, childhood. This is what happens when you bring your childhood into adulthood. You know, it was awesome. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And I'm usually a cynic. Like, I'm just, that's just how I am. I'm a cynical person. I can't help it. But this book made me feel warm and fuzzy inside in kind of a weird way that I'll probably need therapy for later. But it's fantastic.
It is the therapy. It is the therapy.
I don't know if I agree with that.
Think about it. The stuffed panther is the coping mechanism. This is just addressing something there.
Yeah, and it's much more when you're talking like acid too. I want to just kind of preface this as if it's more dazed and confused acid than it is like fear and loathing in Las Vegas acid.
No. Like, okay, we're not getting like creepy darkness here. It's just, it's really pleasant. Like, it's just a nice warm feeling of like, there's, everybody has something that's going to make them okay and make them push through and make them get through the day, whatever that is. And it's just, it's cool. And it's definitely a little dark at times, but there's a light guiding you through it, which made the book.
I love that take, because that's absolutely nowhere near what I'd thought of it.
Yeah.
But literally now that you say it, yeah, that fits perfectly. That's absolutely there in the story too.
Indeed. Max, I know you're thumbing through it as we speak, man. Is there anything, any thoughts, big thing like that before we kind of get going, moving on with it?
I mean, you guys covered it pretty well. I kind of wanted to give a quick shout out to, if you guys pick up the book, I've always been a fan of this in trades. I really love like the cover galleries, and I love those portions of the back of a graphic novel where you can see kind of, you know, like their pencils and kind of how they're coming up with their ideas. But some of the cover gallery art in the book is actually really, really cool. There's a Con exclusive piece by Ben Torres, which is probably my favorite. It's very monochromatic, but it's freaking awesome. If you guys pick up this book, it looks great. And then there's another one towards the end of the book as well that's by Monhouse that looks rad. I mean, it is very, very cool. Those are really cool art pieces. I really, really dug those. It's very, very neat.
Oh, since you've got it right there, the one that has the bared teeth behind Spencer, that's the splash page that I saw.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Okay.
That was the original that got me in.
That got you pulled. I love it. No, and like I said, just a phenomenal, phenomenal piece, man. I can't recommend enough. And one of my big things for everybody is go out and find ways to support this. Action Lab Comics is publishing this book right now. David Papos and Jorge Santiago Jr. Get a hold of their wherever you can find their stuff. Support these folks. Fantastic book. Looking forward to some future endeavors with those gentlemen and those creators if we can get anything going with them. So really appreciate that. And Pete, just a phenomenal find, which is going to kind of lead us into our next little piece here, man. So with that being said, big shout outs to our indies as well as some of our bigger pieces. But as you all know, March is here, winter is over with, and convention season, comic convention season, has basically upon us now, man. It is about to begin the gauntlet that starts, man. I know one of the major ones here in California, WonderCon, is at the end of the month, so that guy's going to get going. I just got my tickets for that as well, so I'm really excited to get down there and have some fun with WonderCon in Anaheim. Max, you are our big convention guy, though, man. You help run and put together and tear them down. What's coming up for you, and what are you excited about coming up here real quick?
Well, I'm going to try to get down to Anaheim as well, so we might have to have a conversation.
Oh, dude. Heck yeah.
The one that we got coming up here, one of the things that we like to do is we really like we go to some of the bigger cons, but we really like to support some of these small guys, some of these smaller cons that sometimes are, they're maybe only drawing like maybe 5,000 people, maybe 6,000 people, but they're really a labor of love. There's one coming up here in October. It's in Eastern Oregon, and it's called Bordertown Comic Con. And, this is in a community that is arguably one of the poorest communities in the state of Oregon, but they find a way to put this together. And it gives that community and that basically the whole Treasure Valley, a reason to go into that community and spend money. So it's something that we've supported every single year. It's in its fourth year this year. But I think the great thing about this thing is that, you see how well Comic-Cons do all across the country, but it's very rare where you see a Comic-Con that really does help to not only, I think, uplift the spirits of the people in, maybe a tough area, but also bring in a lot of, revenue into the area. Like, it's a fiscally beneficial thing for them to do this, and it's a great event. So we're really, really stoked to be doing that. Turbo Comics is going to be doing that. Bordertown Comic Con coming up in late March. So if you're in the Pacific Northwest and you're coming through the area, make sure you stop by. I think it's March 23rd and 24th. So that should be good. So that's the first thing on my calendar, basically.
Oh, nice.
That I'm thinking about.
That's
here,
awesome. So. Yeah, that's the weekend right before WonderCon as well. So yeah, come down to Anaheim, man. Come visit.
Yeah.
And that's exciting, especially with some of those conventions like that. I mean, Bordertown, go out, check that out, like Max said. But more than anything, it does a couple other things too. When you have small communities like that and you're helping those out, those vendors, those people there, that is a huge boost to communities like that. And for them to be 40 years strong now and to continue to run that and continue to grow, congratulations to Bordertown. And we're going to send all the support we can to that team and that group right there. So keep at it and keep the good fight going there, Bordertown. So thank you all very much for helping us out and supporting a great community like Turbo Comics as well, because you guys are fantastic as well, Max. So. With that being said, though, man, one of the things with when it comes to convention season is, I don't know about all of you, but I start salivating during convention season because this is my chance to go and have some of the most fun I ever have at conventions, and that's actually doing some comic book hunts, man. And not only do I like to go and hunt down key issues or gaps in my collections, my Swamp Thing collection is getting very strong. It is currently getting ready there where I finally am going to have some of my last pieces. But more than anything, I'm also a big fan of going and doing some art hunts too, man. I love going to the conventions and hunting around and seeing some of those artists, local artists, even big time artists as well, going to those conventions and looking at some of the dealers and just absolutely having a blast with it. For you guys though, man, what's kind of, exciting about conventions coming up for y'all, things like that? And if you're a hunter, if you like to do the comic book hunts as well, that's awesome. But anything else?
I love cons. Super cons coming up here, which I'm super excited for. We are getting some big names. Straczynski's going to be here. Capullo's going to be here, which I'm so excited about. Albuquerque's going to be here. So I'm a fangirl hard.
Oh, Albuquerque's coming, huh? I'm not going to lie. Ever since you told me to follow him on Instagram, he is one of my most favorite follows, honestly, for creators. Yeah. Besides Todd McFarlane. McFarlane is like the ultimate Instagram follow, but Albuquerque is phenomenal.
Oh, I love him. And he's one of those people that, like, he'll apologize to you for you having read his books. I brought him American Vampires number one, and he goes, "Oh, I'm so sorry."
Oh,
and
no. I love
why?
Why are you sorry?
Yeah, why are you sorry?
Yeah.
He's like, "You're amazing. I love you.
Thank you for some of the best vampire like literature we've had, you know, in decades. Holy hell.
Fantastic.
Are we sure he's not British?
But it's
Brazilian, right? It's close enough. Right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. but wow. Aside from that, for me, being kind of the socially awkward comic book nerd, I love cons because I can finally be with my people. I go out with my friends and stuff, but I am one of those people that I'm very reserved around people I don't know. I'm very kind of like, I don't really know you. You're going to judge me for liking comics and nerd stuff. Like, I don't know. But you go to a con and I'm like, oh my God, these are my people.
Welcome everybody. You can all love me.
I love you. You love me for the most part when you're not trampling over me because I'm invisible at cons for whatever reason. No, it's great. I love going to like the indie game booths where you can go to the indie
game booths. Yeah, for sure. Play, like, those are always great.
The creator games and all that. But like cons to me are like, I can hunt for my books, which I do. I like have my little group of friends and we all go to each stall and then we just do the Big Bang Theory. Got it. We do that.
At least you remember better than I do.
Mm-hmm. I make lists.
Oh, yeah. Lists are important. Lists are very important.
But it's a great time for me to socialize with like-minded people, to talk about books, to talk with friends that I don't see all the time. They come down for cons and they're like, hey, let's go find this because you're gonna love this. I know what you like, I know what he likes, I know what she likes. And it's a great time for all of us to get together and be around equally socially awkward people and enjoy just nerding out over comics and over video games and over all of the different fandoms that are going on. So for me, it's more than just the comics, but it's a whole like gathering of people that I like and I'm cool with, and it's nice.
See, and this is why I had to do a show with all of you guys, because everybody I go to conventions with, they're not into books like I am. So I always am like, okay, you're gonna go do that, well, I'll see you later. I just saw a bunch of long boxes in this booth over here. I'm gonna go disappear for a couple hours later.
It really doesn't work out like very well when I go to conventions with certain people, because like I will literally end up at a booth like digging through stuff for like a 45 minute time frame.
Oh, easily.
You know, and then I'll move on to the next booth.
Every time I think I don't have patience for something like that, like I look at a long box and I'm like, oh, I had to dig through all of that. Then I remember I'm still the same woman who will dig through a pile of shirts at the thrift store until I find the one.
Yeah.
So you know what? No, I can do that to go and fill out my comics collection. We can do that.
And she comes back with an armload of Fantastic Four.
I do. There it is. I do. That is my swamp thing.
So Max, so what are some of your recommendations for going on those hunts for comic books, man? Like what are some things you like to do? What are some things you recommend to people who maybe are, you know, a little light on the, I got to go search for comic books at a convention?
Well, the first thing I think I would suggest to people who are looking for, I guess, those holy grails is to stop looking at conventions.
Okay, there you go. Yeah.
don't look at conventions. I mean, conventions are great. I mean, I'm not disparaging them, and I think you should go to conventions and buy books. I mean, obviously that's something that Turbo Comics does. But you know, the best thing about finding that gem that you want, the best thing about finding that book that you've been looking for forever, you know, that Silver Age key, that Golden Age book, is to find that book out in the wild, man.
Ooh.
There's nothing that's more exciting. There's nothing that's more exhilarating than to be digging through someone's closet, their basement, their barn, their garage, you know, getting dusty, getting dirty, getting grimy, and finding that key book that you have never thought that you would see in a million years, you know, maybe in an apple crate or a cardboard box or sandwiched between some old newspapers from like the Cold War. I mean, that's where it's at. I mean, that's just me speaking.
That's the ultimate.
Anybody can go to a con and, you know, buy the first appearance of Supergirl for $800 at CGC, at 3-point, whatever. But, you know, but finding that book in the wild, nothing is better than that. So I guess I mean, if you guys like to be, you know, kind of like, I mean, my hobby is to be sort of like the American Pickers version of comic books, of nerd culture. And that's kind of what we do. You know, but, you know, if you like to get out and you like to get dirty and you like to meet new and interesting people, that's the way to do it. And, you know, look on Craigslist, you know, look on Facebook Marketplace, you know, maybe put an ad out there. Be careful. You know, it's not always safe out there, so make sure you always go with a friend.
Buddy system.
Make sure you tell people where you're going. You know, we could fill an entire episode of kind of like the very scary 60-person communities that I've driven into that have looked, you know, that's basically a one-horse town, and they're kind of scary at times. So you got to make sure you tell people where you're going. But that's the best, you know. You know, if you go to a con and you're looking for that special book and you find it at a dealer, at a dealer's booth, I think the first thing to remember is that don't ever take the price on the book.
Never take the price on the book.
You know, I mean, you never want to pay retail. You really want to try to negotiate with that guy and see what you can do. And a really great tactic for those of you that are listening: always bundle. So if you got friends at that same booth that are buying stuff, try to bundle it all up. Try to negotiate that price down. I shouldn't be giving these tips away, man, because I'm a vendor myself, but this is what I see all the time. You know, but that's what you want to do if you're out there at a con and you're looking for those books as well. But
I'm sure that's also, I mean, I you know, I'm in sales, and that's part of the fun when you have someone who's a very savvy shopper. And you know, they enjoy that kind of back and forth as well. I have some of my most fun with that as well. So my biggest thing is make a friend. When you're digging through those long boxes, make a friend that's digging there next to you and let them know, like, hey, I bet you we could get a better deal if we go up to that counter together. Let's join forces on this. Amen. One.
Always three of us. I always go.
Well, and see, that's where I always have to, like, find some rando person where I'm like, hey, are you buying that? They're like, yeah. I'm like, hold on, give me like 10 minutes to find a couple more. Like, I'm looking for a couple of things. And they're like, why? I was like, because we're going to go get a deal together. Like, just follow my lead. Once I go, just follow my lead. Like, I got you. Like, don't worry.
Awesome.
That's hilarious. All right, cool. So with that being said, Pete, anything you're excited for conventions, man? Anything like that? Are you a big convention goer? Like, what are you looking forward to with the convention season, man?
Well, for me, conventions are kind of a mix of everything you already discussed. It's partially for what you can get at them, but also partially for the experience of the people. So whether you're going to see somebody's panel, whether you're going to see, okay, I know this retailer's going to be here, or I know I'm looking for these Golden Age, Silver Age key issues, just like big chase issues that everybody looks for, so I know I'm going to find them. I think that whether you're just going for autographs, or literally just want to say, hi, thank you, may I shake your hand, or you're just going for shopping, I think everything you guys just discussed in detail for good selling applies just as much for good shopping, and or even just meeting your heroes, your favorites, and or your fellow fans. And just so simple as, and that breaks down really simply as, be polite, mind your pleases and thank yous conscientiously, and you will stick out like a sore thumb that people will remember fondly. Be clean, because if you stink, you also stick out like a sore thumb, and you always hear people talking about, oh man, I got the con plague, and you hear fans and celebrities, comic book pros, you know, be they comic book pros, voice act,
whatever voice actors, it is, whoever, yes, the plague is real.
Because it's just like getting sick in a classroom. It's that much of people there, it will spread. Absolutely. Stay clean. Absolutely. Not just so you don't get disgusting, so you don't get sick either.
So with that being said, we are going to end the night. So I do have a little question for y'all here. So we are going to see, you know, you guys are going to be nominated. You're going to get your Best Picture Oscar, you know, for your movie that you made. You know, you're going to get your Best Picture Oscar. You're going to go up on stage. You're going to thank all your friends, your families, all those wonderful things. But what two comic book characters are you going to thank in your acceptance speech when you take your Oscar on the stage and are ready to walk off? As the music's playing, they're cutting you down and you get two names to shout out. Who are those two names? Pete, you first, sir.
Okay. So definitely Spider-Man.
Spider-Man, first one. You're getting pulled off. The music's loud. It's sounding you off.
Because, man, as much as nobody should ever want their life to be like his, Pete,
you're talking too long. They're playing you off, man. The violins are going. Who's your second name? Oh, my gosh. The commercials are rolling.
And Superman.
And Superman. Spider-Man and Superman. There it is.
Definitely.
All right. Marley, who are your two?
Thank you, Tony Stark, for funding this.
Tony
adventure.
Stark, number one.
And thank you, Susan Storm, for making sure that this did not go crazy.
There it is. Tony and Susan. All right.
And our management all in one. Good night, folks.
Deal. Done and done. Allie, who are you taking? Who's your two?
Barbara Gordon, Selena Kyle.
Oh, Barbara and Selena. All right. Max, who are your two? Ooh.
First of all, I'd like to thank myself, and I'd like to thank Mephisto.
Mephisto, all right, there you go. Fantastic, everybody. I appreciate y'all so much for coming on. This is Comics for All. Make sure to follow us at All for Comics. Before we get out of here, where can everybody find you? Marley, go.
They can find me on Twitter at Marley and Cricket. At Marley Cricket. Otherwise, they can find me on Malice Corp under the name Cricket, writing articles every now and then.
Pete, how about you, sir?
Malice-corp.com, a.k.a. as Igor. And helping out my lovely four friends here on Twitter under our account of at All for Comics.
Fantastic. Allie.
At Lulz Panda, LulzPanda on Twitter, and at Lulz Panda on Instagram.
Fantastic. Max.
Yeah, you can find us on Twitter at Turbo Comics ID for Turbo Comics Idaho. We're also on Instagram, just at Turbo Comics. Obviously, we are on Facebook, where you canvas all that social media stuff. Just look us up, Turbo Comics. And we got a new website coming out at the end of March. It's going to be called Turbo Comics Shop. You're going to be able to find all your awesome keys, all your awesome comics on there, tons of merch, tons of toys, tons of cool stuff. So keep an eye out on that. You can also sign up for our, we're basically giving a grand prize away at the end of March. So go to Turbo Comics Shop and put in your email to enter yourself in for that prize.
Ooh, yeah. Something tells me it's going to be juicy. So get at it. you can follow me at The Big Papa Matt on Twitter, also on Instagram.
Thanks for tuning into episode 12 of Comics for All. We really do appreciate everybody for listening, liking, commenting, and subscribing to the show wherever you find this show. So really do appreciate y'all. Thank you so much for your time, and have a great one.